Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I've been with my baby.
Yes. Said built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah. Some ups and downs, baby, a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby, you've always held it down, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. Never let me go, you always stayed around.
That's right,
you stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter how
long,
whatever comes our way, you know, you and me, we gon' stay together.
Feet away from each other, not even as far, I think about a foot.
I'm looking right into her eyes. So.
This is the first time we're actually this close to each other doing the show.
Can't say I'm real comfortable with this. You know, I like to just kind of boom, whatever. How's everybody doing this evening? If you're tuning in from the GQ Palace spot on Blog Talk Radio, we thank you for tuning in. Then because you called in from 646-200-3838, thank you from both situations. As we do every week, we're going to catch up on how the week was going. Or how's your week?
My week has been long. I have been going for work, day job, trying to schedule events. Current title is the Business Ambassador of American Beauty Plus. And interesting. Actually, last night I went to For Noche de Moda, which is television, it's a Spanish television publication. They published the Cosmopolitan. Well,
get it together like you ain't never been on the radio. It ain't me. Was this what happened to you sitting next to your husband?
Good grief, you're making me tongue-tied, baby. They published the Cosmopolitan. Espanol, novelas, animadas, basically a lot of the Spanish entertainment and magazines. So there was a fashion show that took place last night at Guastavino on 59th Street in the city. And we actually had a Bordas Brezo, my elite queen and I, enjoying the Latin. So that was...
For some food.
Actually, they did not have food. They served. See, when you go to these upscale, food-friendly places, first the waiter comes over to you with a plate and some napkins. They say, "Would you like one, ma'am?" What happened?
You're supposed to take one. Let me just explain that, because we might have some people listening that may not go to upscale events. Do not take a handful as if you are starving. Even if you are, you take one, maybe two, and wait for the tray to come back around. I've seen some folks sit there and try to just board the tray. You don't do that. Have some class. Just grab one or two. If it's great, it'll come back around. And if it don't, that's for the chef's meal.
And honestly, if you're at a good event, very upscale event, they'll come around. They kept in the others with dishes. Actually had an also nice buffet. Huge. I couldn't believe how much it. And I was kind of full, but I wish I could have.
Shit, brought some home.
There you go.
No, I'm just saying.
We're going to pull out my Tupperware.
Listen, we've seen that. We've seen some rich people do that. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yes. The chick came to the event in a limo, and the food was free, and she commenced to put stuff in a Tupperware and a plastic bag. Where do they do that at? But anyway, so how was the rest of your week?
It was a sad day. I was running late for work. I finally got to work. The director of nursing called me on intercom, and she said, "Tiffany, I need you to make sure that you complete the death certificate for one of the residents." So, because the doctor was in-house, and that certificate needed to be completed. And it was interesting that she didn't say who the death certificate was for, and it sent a red flag, and I kind of knew there was a reason why she wasn't saying it. And one of my favorite residents passed away this morning just before I came into work. And it was really sad for me because I've known him for 3 years.
My man is real cool.
Yeah, and he was called the mayor of the facility. I work at a nursing home. And every single day he had his cane, he would come downstairs and stand at the front desk, because I started off as the receptionist at the facility. And we would talk all day, and he would fuss with me, I fuss with him, but we got along really great. And one of the recreation people, she told me that I was one of his favorite people. And when I got back from the pageant, the recreation director went up to see him, because he wasn't able to come downstairs anymore because he was so sick that she called me and she said, you know, I was telling Bill that you won the crown, and he had a big smile on his face, and if you could just go upstairs to see him. And I said, okay. So I put my crown on, I put my sash on, and I went upstairs to see him, and I talked to him for a little while. And it was just sad to see him deteriorate to that level, because I remember him when I first got to the facility being rambunctious.
How long ago was that?
Strong. This is 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago. Rambunctious and strong and really strong-willed and determined to do whatever he wanted to. I mean, we used to get into fights because he wanted to carry the mailbox. He wanted to carry the mail when it was delivered into the business office, and I said it was too heavy for him. And he said, I could carry it. And I said, no, you can't. I said, if you don't put it down, I'm going to take my belt off. So it's just really sad. Not going to be there. And he was in a facility, from what I understand, for 15 years. I'm really going to miss him.
I come to pick up Tiff. He see me, say what's up. He dart inside to let her know that I was outside. And then, you know, I'd hang out with him for a couple of minutes and speak to him. And so that's just a part of life. Around that, it's just, when you know someone's not going to be there, gotten used to seeing them, so it can be. So I was sad when I got the text that, and I didn't know him that well. It's just, you know, you get used to seeing a particular face when you go to a particular place, and you know, to know that he's no longer with us, but this is the livelihood that Tiff does for a living, so it's kind of part of the game. But still, no one wants to know someone that they're cool with is no longer here.
That was
going on this week?
That was about it. You know, this weekend coming Saturday. Oh, Saturday. Oh, my goodness. Michelle Walker and Sean Clark. Double Dutch Fitness in Fort Park. They had it earlier this week, but I couldn't make it, so I told them I would try to make it out on Saturday.
Double Dutch Fitness.
Double Dutch Aerobics. I have not jumped Double Dutch probably. So
you got a lot of people coming out to try to get in shape, jumping double dutch, and then all going to be reporting to work that they got ankle sprains and hamstrings and everything else because they were out act like they were 12.
Well, hopefully we won't be injured.
Yeah, okay.
Trying to get in shape.
Yeah, okay.
But there will be some professionals out there showing us the proper way to attempt to jump double dutch after 20 years.
Wow. Yeah, go out there and do what you got to do. I'd be out there just to take the film, the blackmail. You'd be like, okay, you was out here. Don't try to fake it at work, but hey, anything else going on, darling?
Sunday, I'm on for arthritis. I'm going to be at Battery Park in the city, 8:30 in the morning, so it's very, very early. And Lourdes also, my friend Lourdes, and I have a few, I had a few people sign up on the walkathon site for the Arthritis Foundation. So if you want to join me, please, please, please come out. Okay. Or at 8B is registration at Battery Park in the city. And we would like for you to join us.
I want to also just add this to how my week was going. On May 19th, that's a Sunday, correct? You just mentioned?
That's correct.
Unstop Media, Unstop Media Group, I'm sorry. Unstop Entertainment Media Group, I'm getting it together. As their superstar, I know. As their superstar All Star Sunday, is their superstar All Star Sunday at the industry night, $1,000 in cash being given, and it's at Allure, Club Allure, 3302 Queens Boulevard, Long Island City. It's a big event. Big doors open up. The event that starts at 7, but there's an after party, Coco Chanel, and a lot of in the hip hop industry. GQ Palace is going to be there. That's our radio station that we're on. I know it's a Sunday night, but show up. Tiff and I are going to try our best to be there. It's a Sunday. It's a little difficult for us, but we're going to try to be there to support. These are the things that you have to get behind, because when folks that look like us are doing the things for us, these are the things that we have to support. Don't support our own event. Expect anybody else to decide to come in those things. We have to do those things for ourselves to give them reason come and join us, and I mean everyone. And we need to do that. So Tiff and I are going to do our best to fix our schedule to try to be there. Tiff has some things that she has to do earlier, and hopefully we'll have enough time to get over just to show our faces for a little while, and back because we do have to work in the morning. So I just wanted to give that. Club Allure, 3302 Boulevard, Long Island City. Take the 7 train to Basin Street. Definitely check it out. So, that was my week.
Well, you had the quality review at your school.
Nah.
You had the people coming down to serve.
The superintendent was in the building. Yeah, we had the quality review Monday and Tuesday. And when you teach, you have to know if the school itself is functioning on a higher level. And I think the thing that gets me with quality review or any type of state review, and I always see people start to bug out, I think you tip your hand to things that you're not doing when you get real frantic. Oh, people are coming in to watch you do what you do. I have felt and will always feel, if you are doing things at the highest professional level, I don't care who comes in, watch you do what you do. It shouldn't be a problem. I've always felt doing observations or people walking around, I would invite whoever. Come on in. I'll teach you too. Because if I'm teaching kids, I can teach adults. I've never worried about that. But as far as I understand, the quality review went the way it went. The principal, I believe, has her handle on the thing that needs to be corrected. We had some positives. Of course, we had some negatives. It's going to be the way it is. And I think changes are going to be made. And I think in any school, when there's new growth, there has to be change. And so I'm definitely looking forward to the changes that are coming up in the next couple of years. And I plan to be there for those changes. So Monday and Tuesday were a little tense, but got through. And so far the rest of the week, the weather has been pretty good, except for the rainy day we had the other day. At this point in the school year, it's really about just getting to the finish line, getting the kids who are up for graduation in position, graduate, then for the summer. And the summer is really just going to be about books and the Brave and publishing business. I have a lot of things, as I've said in shows in the past, that I'm changing and trying to work on. I got a new pair of sneakers. Let me explain something to you. And yes, I know I sound like a...
You like a big kid.
Yo, I do. I do sound like a big kid, but I got to be honest. You know, I'm cheap. I don't like to spend a lot of money for a pair of sneakers. But then I thought about it. I said, you know, sometimes when you buy inexpensive things, you get inferior product. So this time I said, workouts that I want to start doing and just being on my feet, make sure I got the type of shoes I needed. I bought some New Balance Walkers that were expensive, but man, listen, like I got Cadillacs on my feet, man. I went from a Hyundai to some Cadillacs, and I'm real comfortable, and I'm looking forward to some wear on them and then buying another pair. And I bought a second pair for walking and exercise that we're going to do here around the house.
We're going to be walking.
Yeah, man. I got some, that's part of the changes that we're going to make. So, but yeah, other than that, I'm just looking forward to getting through tomorrow, then on to the weekend. And I'm trying to finish up this story that is due for the anthology that I'm a part of that's coming out in September, Soldiers of the Cross. 3 talented authors, and I happen to be one of them. And we have a Christian fiction anthology that's coming out in September, and I'm very excited about it because I'm trying my hand at fictional writing. Many of y'all know me as a poet. Many of y'all know me as a nonfiction writer, so I'm tipping my pen into some different ink and going to see, dipping my pen into some new ink and seeing what comes from it. And I'm hoping that the critique is not too harsh, but I am definitely looking forward to...
Are you almost finished?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because, you know...
be finished up this weekend.
You should be, because the first thing you're going to do is hand it to me
to
edit and proofread.
The initial edit.
And then you'll start stressing me and rushing me.
But the good thing about this is we don't have to publish this. So when the publisher gets it and sends it back to us, then I can make whatever changes that the publisher wants me. So I don't have to wear that hat with this project. I am just the writer or the author on this project. What about your book? Talking about me, what about your book?
I've been working on it. I've had a few great ideas, and I've been jotting.
Right.
Really, really, really trying to get it done here. It's really about that time, and I'm so motivated.
If y'all don't have any idea what Tiffany's talking about, Stop Doggy Poser, A Woman's Guide to Regaining Her Dignity, is a book that's been on the table God knows how long, but we are hoping that Tiffany will go ahead and get it finished, simply because I believe it's a book that will answer a lot of the questions that come about when you read my book, Gigolo to Jesus, and when they talk about, when they want to know about my transformation. Tiff's book will say a lot, as well as it'll help. Try to create products and books that are going to help others. So it's not just, oh, buy it, we're trying to sell you something. It's a matter of having something that's going to help.
So, going to force women to step up and raise the bar for themselves. And it's been taking so long. Now, I don't just African-American writer, African-American author. I want to make sure that it's something that's quality. I want to make sure that people will possibly pull out in their workshops, in their classrooms, is, you know.
She's going to be the younger version of Ilana Van Zandt.
That's what I want. I want to be on that level.
Now, she gives her a show.
I want to be that chick.
We can make DMX cry. I mean, we might punch him in the face a couple times, but no. But actually, that's if you want to compare it to something, that's what the look is we're going for.
Yes, I respect Ilana Van Zandt. I've actually read her books, and she is someone that's the level I aspire to. So, Bob Doggy Poulton comes out, please believe it will be a.
Also, it goes along with the handbook that we're working on. That is Making Marriage Cool Again handbook. I should have that finished by the fall. And it's really just simply a handbook, a short handbook that goes with our Making Marriage Cool Again seminar. A little something for folks to pop out of their bag and just give them a little blueprint on things that can keep their marriage cool again, things that can make their marriage fresh. Maybe things that will answer some questions in their marriage. Like tonight, one of the subjects that we're going to talk about, we're not going to give it away just yet. But
don't give it away.
One of the subjects that we're going to talk about is something that keeps the relationship fresh. So we're going to have that ready by the fall. So going into the end of the year, I are going to really be doing some things with Brave and Publishing. Really give you more of what we do. Really have a strong example of exactly what we do. And hopefully help you. That's really the goal. So, other than that, baby, what's going on in the news? You know we like to talk about the news, so what's going on in the news?
You know, we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week. I'm not sure why, Kanye. I have to say that we were amiss not talking about the young lady that received imprisonment. After 10 years.
You're trying to blame me? I heard that little Kanye remark.
Yes, because you just went into the topic of the show without even giving me a chance to talk about the news.
Cost me this week. You're trying to snatch the mic back from me.
So that I can shut you.
Oh. Listen, but, you know I go on my soliloquies at any moment, so if
yeah.
I grab the mic, it's on. Kanye time. Oh, let me let you know something. Reason why you're here, Tiff and I yell Kanye, if you remember when Taylor Swift was on stage, Kanye jumped up on the stage and decided that he wanted to have something to say during her moment. So Tiff and I refer to that as pulling a Kanye. So if every now and then you hear Tiff tell me I'm Kanye, and then I know I've jumped on the mic and talked too long. See, like right now, I'm off.
Thank you. So
whatever.
If you haven't heard the name Ariel Castro.
Who?
Ariel Castro. In the last couple of weeks, then you have been under a rock, because that is a man who imprisoned three young ladies for approximately 10 years.
I thought that was the guy that found them. See, you know,
No, the guy that found them was Charles Ramsey. He's the black guy that he was saying that he knew something was wrong when a white chick was jumping into the arms of a black man.
After he came from McDonald's?
Yes.
Where they found, like, his prison record or something like that?
You know, first of all, is the craziness is, and what a lot of people don't realize, because the media has been saying approximately 10 years, but one of the young ladies that he kept, her name was Michelle Knight, I believe, she was the first to be kidnapped. And he had her for 11 years.
11 years?
Yes. And the,
who enslaves somebody for 11 years nowadays?
The other two, he actually captured in the following year. And Michelle Knight, from what I've been reading, she suffered the brunt of the abuse, the physical abuse. It was a lot of mental abuse, of course, but I was reading that she was beat up so bad that they will have to do reconstruction surgery to her face.
Yeah, I heard that he used one of the punching bags or
something. That's her. That's her.
Like, what is going through your head? Like, who didn't love you when you was younger to do foolishness like that?
And what I don't understand is, over the years, it's alleged that she had 5 miscarriages because each time she would get pregnant, he would beat her up and starve her.
Starve, yeah, I heard that.
In order to make her lose the baby. But there was a baby born during that time, and that child is now 6 years old. But this was to one of the other captives. She had a 6-year-old.
Oh.
And he would actually let the 6-year-old come out the house. And he would take her places. He told his daughter, from what I understand, that the 6-year-old was the daughter of his girlfriend. So while the 3 women were in prison in his house, he would allow the 6-year-old to come out. And to make it even worse, he would not let the mother or any of the other young ladies tell the 6-year-old their real name in fear that she might tell someone when they were out and they would find out his secret. But yes, and what's even crazier, the fact that 2 of the young ladies were friends of his daughters. He has daughters, and the 2 young ladies were classmates of one of his daughters.
You know, there's some crime that no matter how much you hear, you can't picture that being a person of color.
But he is a...
No. I mean, he might be like... Listen, there's just some crimes that as you hear them laid out, know that
you
is not a man.
You
can't be biased. I might be wrong.
Just like those 2 that went around shooting people, the serial killers. The snipers in D.C. They were 2 black men.
Yes.
And they went around shooting people for no reason.
Fishbone did rock music along with Living Color. Every now and then you do get a little crossover. Got that. But for the most part, just some crimes you hear, and I'm sorry, I'm not making a racist. It's just sometimes it's like, where does your mind go to allow you to just damage somebody's body? Not just one person, but to keep... You tell me the 3 women couldn't just attack them and something, stick them in the neck with something.
But you know what's funny? They also mentioned, what is that syndrome? Munchausen
syndrome.
Is that the
syndrome? No,
that's
Helsinki
not.
Syndrome. Helsinki
when
syndrome.
You start to feel sorry for your captor,
yes.
Because
Helsinki syndrome.
That's your ability to cope with the situation, which is interesting because, I don't know, we talked about it before, my fright and flight. And fight.
Fight or flight. Oh, get your tongue out the way. Speak.
My fight is more, extreme. That I just can't see myself being captured for that long.
Except, by the way. Let's go Pacers. Sorry.
I couldn't see myself being captured that long and abused mentally and just... It's sad.
And
I feel
that.
So sorry.
Say that. But then abuse, change the way you act. You know, people say they would never do certain. Person abuse you long enough in particular ways, you'd be surprised what you do to make the pain go away. The sad part is that a person needs that in their lives to get to somebody. I mean, that's. Like, is it even worth putting them in jail? I'm not a fan of the death penalty, but it's just like some folks is waste time on this.
You know, he wrote a letter prior to his capture. I guess it was a diary, and he was saying he knew he had a problem after the first one, after the second one, that already had two? Why did I need a third? So he's basically talking to himself, and he knew that there was a problem, that he was a sexual predator, and he had some type of addiction for young girls, because one of them, I think she was young as 13, and she was abducted. And he actually said that if he died, he would want house to be sold and the money to be given to them. So his daughters, they don't understand. They're really hurt by it because, like I said, these young ladies were his friends.
You know,
were her friends.
Is there anything else in the news, man? Because, you know what? The brother, though.
Two brothers.
No.
Oh.
The brother that was disconnected. I think the brother that found him.
Charles Ramsey.
It shows you how this country can't even enjoy a good story. Now, I caught a little glimpse of the reading. I'm not a big fan of today's news because they highlight some things I just can't rock. But to find the man's prison record,
why?
When it has no bearing on why he was at McDonald's, why he was standing out there, and the fact that he called the police, it's like you can't let a dude just get on TV and
why
rock.
Why do they feel the need to dredge that up?
And that's when you feel people, when people bring racism to the table and try to defend that the country's in a better place so that racism isn't the way it used to be. See this foolishness? I'm sorry. I believe that when it has to be color, just react differently. People just state things differently. I pay attention to the way they even describe certain men of color when they bring their history to the table. So once you've committed a crime, you'll always be convicted felon, whatever. And it just bothers me because this man should be celebrated as a hero because he would have turned their back and not paid attention to say, off me and thrown about the business. And maybe this man comes back out of the house and brings those women back in and kills them for even saying anything. No one stops and considers what the outcome. And if he didn't even try to help, he could have just said, get the hell off me, and went on about his business. He needs to celebrate the fact that somebody actually took the time out to say, let me help somebody else. Even if it's just to call the police. I know people that won't even call the police. And if folks don't want to check Kitty Genovese, and she died in Manhattan, stairwell, bottom of the stairwell, while people are hearing her being murdered.
And do you know, Charles Ramsey is the hero that rescued lady from imprisonment. He was offered money, and he actually said he didn't want the money to give it to this young lady. And he's a dishwasher. You know, he could use that money.
Yeah, but I think some money you don't want. I think sometimes you have to look at what you're getting money for and just say, you know what, I don't want it. I can respect that. What do you? He did more than I am, and that's just him looking at the situation. And but who's to him? Shout out to my man Charles Ramsey. No matter how much they clown you, but next time, bro, comb the hair, man. Get yourself together. He was looking real crazy when they interviewed him, and I'm sorry, he really did look like show. He was looking real crazy. He really did look like Shownuff from The Last Dragon.
He did. Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at a picture of him now, and he does look like Shownuff.
He looked like Shownuff from The Last Dragon.
All he
needed
was a cape.
He said, ain't no low mofo. Anyway, we're not going to go into that. All he needed was a cape and, like, a kung fu suit, right? But anyway, what about the two little boys, baby?
Hey.
The kids that got kidnapped?
No, it was a little girl.
Oh, a little girl,
actually,
okay.
Actually, a 7-year-old in Cleveland. What is going on with Cleveland? Because that's where the three girls were.
Snatch people up in Cleveland.
It's in the water.
LeBron left and Cass ain't got nothing else to do.
Oh, my goodness. But this week, a woman was walking with her 7-year-old daughter, and a man was pulled up by them, got out his car, grabbed her little girl, and threw her in the trunk. And was about to pull off with her.
Mother let that rock?
You know what's funny? Coco. I posted on Facebook. Our friend Coco said, all she did was scream. She said, how you standing there screaming while somebody grabbed your child? And I said, you know, in New York, we're in a different mindset. Because as soon as somebody approaches us and our children, already in defense mode.
Yo, a New York, the kid and the parent would have been whooping up on them. And if he somehow got back to the car, somebody else would have saw that and jumped in the car, and he got beat up by the first red light. Like, what you doing?
Okay. I was telling her, when I was in the projects when I was a little girl, a man tried to walk out the park with a little boy.
worst thing he could have done.
That was the worst thing he could have done, because he was actually almost outside the park. Somebody recognized the little boy and this man, and they beat him.
Not even a beating you want.
They beat him almost to death.
Yeah, that's not even fun, because when the police pull up and you start to explain what's going on, they move a little bit slower. Let you catch a couple left and right.
Everybody that was in the park literally ran to death.
So what happened with the little girl? He got away with it?
With the little girl, they said somehow as he was pulling off, she was able to open the trunk and jump out. So it's a scary situation, and it really reminds me, and that's the reason why I posted on Facebook, but I don't know if it happens anywhere else, because I'm here in New York. See mothers walking past the head of their children, sometimes toddlers, or saying, hurry up, stop, walk.
Yeah.
That child is walking behind you, and you're so mad they don't walk fast, child ducked it just that fast.
Well, it happens in New York. It happens in New York often. I see a lot of parents, and white, black, and different, moving so quickly, and then they want to turn, see that the child's still there. Sad part is not being a person that would kidnap a child. Just the idea, I was like, I could snatch that child right now, they wouldn't know. And if I'm thinking about it, and I'm not that, what do you think the man who's riding around who is that, or woman that's riding around is that, is thinking? They're thinking the same. And we have to protect our children, man. It's ridiculous. Any good news? Why do you always give me such sad news, man? Any good news?
Listen, I try.
Iron Man made almost $100 million the first opening weekend, something like that.
Are we going to see Iron Man this weekend?
Yeah, probably. We'll definitely. You know me. I see all the...
You know what I really want to see is After Earth.
And that's news that he said he wants for his 15th.
To be emancipated. How is...
When you make $100 million movies, but you know, you need to go see what happened to my man that was in Home Alone. What was the child's name? Got emancipated too. Got a drug habit that came with it also. At 15 years old, I'm sorry. No disrespect to the Smith family. Powerful. Entertainment industry. They're all doing well. Oh, kids, the wife, him, everything. I'm sorry. At 15, I just don't believe you're ready to live in this world or in that world that he's in. I don't believe in that entertainment world is he ready on his own, because he's a budding star. He's truly got talent. He's been doing this for a while. We're watching Pursuit of Happiness in school right now, and you can just see he has talent. But to get out of here at 15, to be left alone with your own money, your money and these different things, I'm sorry. That's spelling destruction all around. Not that the parents would disappear, but stone face and all those other things. I'm sorry.
You still need that family structure. You still need that guidance at 15. And I'm saying, I graduated high school and started college at 16. And I was, you know, I had a full-time job and everything. And even then, I could have been emancipated if I wanted to. But I think you still need that family structure. It just...
Well, before we go any further, if you're listening from the phone and you want to jump in to say anything to Tiff and I, just press 1. We don't bite. We'll definitely hold a conversation with you, allow you to rock, tell us what you're thinking. Also, if you're listening from the computer, if you want to call in, if you got a question, you can call in at 646-200-3838. You're listening to Reality and Relationships. We do this every Thursday from 8 to 10. And we've been stalling long enough. Tonight, we want to talk about what we had planned on talking about. We changed a little bit. We were going to do something. We had some real serious conversations the last couple of weeks. We want to lighten it up a little bit.
Fun.
So we wanted to talk about lovemaking.
Yes.
Good old fashioned.
I just
want
to make a disclaimer. This discussion, usually we try to be very, very family oriented, because we know sometimes people tune in with their children. This discussion tonight is rated adult.
Oh, it ain't perverted, but I'm just saying you might not want to have your children around if you're not ready to have that conversation with them. Because we're going to talk about the things that pleases adults. That's adult pleasing. We're going to talk about sex, but not just sex. We're talking about the type of sex that comes from being in a committed relationship. Now, let me say this. I hope anybody listening, if you decide to tune off now, that's your business. Tiff and I are... Christian, we are a Christian couple, so we would prefer that people be in a marriage, they decide to get it on. But but we're also realists. We know that many in the world don't carry the views that we have, and they're not going to do the things that we do in our relationship, and we respect that and understand that. So we understand that some of the things that we're going to talk about, folks are going to use from whatever point in their relationship they are. So if you're dating, or if you're single, or you're in a long-term relationship, whatever it is, you're going to use whatever we talk about in whatever form or fashion that you do, and that's fine. It's not something we promote, but we just want to say that because some folks can feel a certain way, and it's okay. And when we say sex, we just want to talk about, you know, sex is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be enjoyable, a release. And I think people make it too complicated. I mean, 50 Shades of Grey sold 50 million copies in like 6 or 7 months, which shows you that when you got something that talks about sex, you're there in mind. And there was some sex talked about in the book. Now, I ain't read the book because it just, that's not my thing. But, they're mind about sex. Sex sells in this country. It is what it is. But what I think is missing, what happened to good old-fashioned, I want my woman, I want my husband to feel it, to enjoy it? What happened to keeping that bed? I want to say sacred, but I want to say sacred in the sense that you two really look at it as a place that y'all going to express who y'all are to each other. What do you think, baby?
I agree. I think, I guess with technology and having so much access every, that people are diminishing that relationship. And I have to say that
I mean, our grandparents stayed together 40, 50, 60 years. That's a lot of time to hump the same person.
Do I think I want to be with you for 50, 40 years? I'm joking, honey.
Nope. You ain't got no choice. My love tickle is that.
Oh, my goodness.
My love tickle is all that. But
you
anyway.
You know what? We get into this discussion all the time.
And I say the same thing every time.
And you do. Because we sit here. And I'll say, I don't understand why she was with him that long. He didn't work. He didn't cook. He didn't do laundry. He didn't clean. Like, just in general,
yeah,
we talk about people in relationships. And the first thing you say is because he put it on him. Like, that's the only reason why women stay in relationships.
No, but it is.
For good sex?
It is a major factor to a lot of folks, and it is a deal breaker for a lot of people. I think if folks kind of held out, let me say it this way. And I know it may sound corny, it may sound old-fashioned, but I'm going to break it down for you. If folks actually waited till they was married, and I mean, let's say male and female was virgins, as corny as that sounds, and your first time getting anything is the night that you're married. Now you go, that sound corny. It sound corny because you've been humping since you was 10. You've been humping since you was 12.
10?
You've been humping since you was 14, humping since you was 15, humping since you was whatever. Now at 20-something years old, you want to settle down and get married. So what happens is you decide to get together and you're comparing it to whoever the best was since you got started. Whereas if both individuals had no history, now it take you 30, 40 years to get bored. You could try everything and everything would be exciting even if it was 2 minutes.
I used to believe that. Oh. I used to believe that. And I have to say that I agree with KO in a sense. Waiting to marriage. Of course, I didn't wait for marriage, but that's another story. But
I did.
How are you going to tell that big fat lie?
Okay. I apologize.
Where did 6 children come from?
I didn't. Okay. Yes, you have to read from Gigolo to Jesus. I did tell a little faux pas. Okay,
anyway.
Maybe I started when I was 12. I didn't know any better.
But I used to believe also that if you never did it before and then you got with your husband, and I know what to expect. You wouldn't have anything to compare it to person I had previously met or this person. But someone told me that they actually had a friend, waited until she was married, and she's been married for 20-something years. She has had 20-something years.
Compared to what?
She's not being pleasured.
Are they actually?
You can't compare it to anything because you've only been with one person, but you will know whether you're being pleasured or not.
True, but are they searching ways to excite each other, expand their repertoire?
Well,
bedroom.
Her husband is not as open to discussing.
Well, then he's the problem.
He's getting his jollies off, and she's basically laying there.
Do we know that though? He may not know to present to her that he's not happy. So the problem with that is
she has tried to discuss it with him.
That's cheating waiting to happen.
Imagine you're in a marriage for 20 years and you're not being pleasured. 20 years. And he's your first. He's your only. What in the world do you do? And I'm just tossing,
the other side of the coin.
That's
like being forced to go to a bad restaurant.
Over and over again.
Like, no one's going to be sick when I eat here. No, I think, but that's what we're talking about, is that communication, the relationship is so important. And we talk about that in our seminar. But it enhances sexual intimacy between the two individuals when you convey to your partner what you like in those learning stages, to the point that they start to understand the exact things that are necessary to turn you on, and less of certain types of communications are needed, because now it's just a communication of the actual act and the compassion. All of that becomes part and parcel.
And keep in mind, we're not talking about on the phone, hot and dirty phone sex.
I need that.
What I'm saying is, before you get to that point, you should have a conversation. It should actually be, I enjoy. And I'll be honest, because when Gil and I would explain to him that there are things that I enjoy, I like, thus. I'm not going to get into details, but
use your imagination.
Use your imagination. And KL was...
Let's get it on.
He was accommodating.
No problem.
So I think there should be some communication, some serious communication. And
some OJs. Some Teddy P. Go get some older R&B and understand what lovemaking is about. I'm sorry to my R&B artists of today. Y'all have nothing on the Isaac Brothers Between the Sheets.
it's funny because when I think about it, because like I said, when that scenario was presented to me, that she had been in a marriage for 20 years of unsatisfied sex, with her husband being the only man she's been with, I felt like, wow, that is something else.
I'm gonna be honest with you, he don't love her. Because when you love somebody, you've committed your life to them. If they say they're unhappy with the way that you wear your hair, you're going to should sit, figure out what that's going to look like and what that can be, make things better. There's got to be some type of accommodation that can be given that's going to help get to some type of common ground. Sexual intimacy is no different. Lovemaking is no different. If you tell me there's something you don't like, how would I continue to tell me that you're unhappy with something and I say I love you? Then I have to find a way. And ladies, let me explain something to you, because men satisfied easy. They're going to lie to you and tell you they need all. Men could rub up against the side of your leg and some of them get excited. You have to know for you what turns you on. And then the two of you have to sit down, have real understanding, and act that out when it's time to express that. And that's part of why both being married, because it's the perfect time for that. As I said, there's going to be folks that's going to do things the way they want to work for them. I'm simply saying it should come down to a matter of, I want to make her happy. I want to make him happy. But you also don't want to place yourself in any situation that's going to make you unhappy. That's where the communication is needed, to lower those inhibitions that you might have so you can really express each other. Now, what you bring to the bedroom, that's an individual preference.
Let me ask you something.
Be careful now.
I was reading.
I'll keep it real.
One of my coworkers, she was reading for her sociology class.
Yes.
In the children by Lee Rainwater. Basically,
And the Poor Get Children by Lee Rainwater? Okay.
And it was basically a study that was done of women 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And
large families.
Yes.
Very large families. 12, 13, 15, 16 families, many of them.
The couple, they actually did a study of the couples and their sexual relationships. And it was very, very interesting because we have come so far, and I don't feel like we're that far away from the 1930s, but we have come so far sexual
relationships. Procreation and not so much pleasure, if I remember correctly. I didn't read the book, so forgive me for not having read the book.
But it depends which couple you ask. Because what was funny is it was some. And the woman enjoyed sex. She was liberated by her husband in enjoying it. And it wasn't just a patient. Then there were other women who felt it was just her duty to have sex. Because that's what her husband wanted. And she really didn't enjoy it. She would just lay there and allow him to have his way. Mm-hmm. And he
sounds like he's doing his business on me, like Color Purple.
So it was interesting to even think of how they thought about sex. And another topic was so funny because a lot of the women, they didn't learn sex education from their families or anything. It's like they got married and then it happened.
Just trial and error, just
right.
Put it together. Yeah.
They didn't even realize, which was hard to believe, that having sex would create babies. They were unaware where babies came from and didn't even equate sex with babies until it happened 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 times.
Wow.
So they were possibly 2 or 3 children in when they realized, I need to do something so that I don't get pregnant. So it's just crazy how they thought back then.
I think it's how you're introduced to it. I think you have to look at what the social norms were at different times, and as society changes, so are things that people are going to find themselves into. And then you also have to remember that there's always going to be dark areas, dark sides to every social norm. So you're always going to have subcultures, always going to form no matter what might be going on. So if you have a couple into what's called straight sex, going to have individuals that are into some other type of sex and then even venture further than that. And you're always going to have sexual subcultures to any type of physical activity that goes on between two individuals. Now, as society changes, technology changes, well, that's going to feed those subcultures, and then many of those subcultures start to become norm simply because start to be accepted more readily because of the availability of information on it.
Right.
And again, what is made it to you. There was a time when television, a man and woman couldn't sleep in the same bed. So you had, here's I Love Lucy, very popular show, and they didn't even sleep in the same bed because that wasn't the social norm. Now, and they have outright pumping on regular television because it's acceptable, and of course there's subcultures to that. I mean, tonight, Scandal, everybody's been talking about it. I posted on Facebook earlier how I've never seen an episode.
I haven't either.
I still
it
haven't.
It doesn't interest me.
But the idea that a lot of it is centered on sex. I guess this young lady having sex with the president or whatever. And anytime you have things that's considered a little negative, things that are not considered that you can get away with, that's going to turn some people on. So I can speak on cheating because it's something that I indulged in. It's something that I wrote about, something that you and I have dealt with and got past. But I can tell you that one of the main enhancers to cheating is the idea that you get away with something. So to some people, that enhances sexual activity. End of the day, not what we're promoting. This is about right now want to have more with your significant other. First thing is, know what to have more of. Are you reaching the orgasmic place that you'd like to get to? And if you're not, what can the two of you do to change that so both of you can get to that point, that both of you can get to a point of true bliss. If he's too rough or she's too rough, why aren't you saying anything? So these are all the things that go into it. Go ahead, baby.
What I was going to say, because earlier at work to
get what? Fired. Really, somebody your job listen and be like, what? You were saying?
We were looking at some pleasure toys.
Online? I was say somebody just set up a show inside the office. Like,
we were looking at pleasure toys.
This here is called the Black Mamba.
And it's so funny.
This here is Chocolate Thunder.
It was funny because when people, one of my coworkers, she's much younger than me, probably 10 years. Yeah, she's in her early 20s. And what's funny is when they're talking, when I add to the conversation, they forget, like, okay, I am married, but I'm a woman also. So, yes, I do have needs. And they were looking at the toys, and at first they didn't include me in the conversation. But then I said, oh, I was looking at the pictures. I said, oh, I got that. They said, you got that? I said, yeah. And it vibrates.
Hey, everybody ain't got to know what goes on. I'm out. Wow.
But it's funny because there are things that KL and I implement into bedroom.
We'll comment.
That
I ain't saying nothing on this one.
Is you know what? You are so silly. There are things that we implement into the bedroom, yes, to give each other pleasure because we enjoy. I enjoy pleasuring a husband. So there are things that we have, some apparatuses.
What the? Oh.
But
no, she's right. Let me explain something. I'm just sitting there acting silly. But no, thing is, Tiff and I, there's nothing off limits in our bedroom.
Well, there are some things off limits.
No. When I say off limits, I already know the things I won't do. I'm saying there's nothing off limits if she says, this is what I like. I'm going to try to do the things that she likes. She's going to do what I like, and this is what it is. Now, we know where those lines are drawn because we have those conversations.
Yeah.
And if at any time I felt uncomfortable with something, she felt uncomfortable with something, we talk about it. I think if you're in a real relationship, we're talking about love now. I'm not talking about just humble. Getting it in, you're getting it in. Like I said before, it's not something that we're with, but okay, whatever. Get really in love. Every time you're intimate, it is an extension of that love. It is a way to say, I would fall over. I'm so happy. Let me show you and how I do this. And if it's reciprocated, which it is for us, and it enhances the relationship. Also, one of the things you got to realize that when you're really in love, we ain't got the hump every day. Look. And we don't.
I'm not going to even give that.
I'm going to say we don't. I'll tell you the truth. No, we ain't, man. Listen, she work full time, I work full time, and we own a company. No, we ain't humping every day. I ain't about to sit here and tell that lie.
We got to get some callers in.
But when we do,
we have to get some calls in because that's the question. How often should you get it in?
Oh, here we go. Now you're going to get the people calling in. Every night you don't work?
I'm going to go back to the book and the poor get children. That is the title of the book, and the poor get children. These people were getting it in. I'm looking at it like, oh my goodness, honey, they were doing it.
They didn't work. You just said, look at the title.
They were doing it every day.
If I was poor.
Sometimes twice a day. Three times like every day.
When I ain't had no job, well, anyway, I'm just saying. Listen. It said, what was the title of the book?
And the Poor Get Children.
Thank you. What else is poor folks going to do? Why do you think these babies keep popping up? Why do you think when you see homes that in lower economic areas, like black and different, all these babies keep popping up? What else you going to do? You work at full time, sometimes two jobs. As much as you may want to mentally, but physically tired. Now, it also means what type of love making you talking about. If you're trying to have a all afternoon.
Wait, I gotta stop you because I'm looking at the Facebook post that Lavina just put up.
Yeah.
And she said, Kale and Tiff said, when you're in love, you don't have to have sex every day. Listen.
No, that's what
KL said.
No. I'm saying, no, you don't have to. Now, I didn't say you shouldn't. And if you do, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, if you got full-time jobs, show me a couple that has full-time jobs and responsibilities like we do and can get it in every day.
Remember, we read a couple that was because they realized that they weren't having sex as they were supposed to. Probably once a month.
They were in their 20s. They were in their 30s.
No, they weren't. They were in their 30s.
I'm in my 40s.
Well, I'm still in my 30s.
Well, you should have married older dudes. gotta give, baby. Gotta give. I'm saying, something gotta give.
To rekindle the flame in their relationship, they decided that they were going to have sex every day for a year, and they had sex every single day.
Yo, and don't let Tiff fool you. Let me tell you, Tiff's trying to sit there and talk a whole lot of junk. Give me the first 4 hours. You do it all day. Sleep. We can't get no work in, nothing. I told one time Tiff said, I said, Tiff, we have some publishing working. So I said, she said, baby, let's get it in first. I said, come on, baby, we got to get this work done. She said, oh. I said, okay, but you know what? All right, let's go. I said, now, after we done, well, we're going to get this work done. She's like, I promise. I got you. Okay, cool. We do our thing. Had a wonderful time. I'm like, come on, baby, get up. No, I'm tired. Come on, baby, get up. I'm sitting there doing work. She don't want to do nothing. I'm like, what's going on?
I slept for the next 2 hours. I slept for half the day.
And I said, yo, and then so from that point on, I said, yo, you get none if we got work to do. Also, let me share this with y'all too. As a couple that's in love and a couple that enjoys making love with each other, you should have little cute words or little buzzwords that only the two of you know, and it's a way to have some fun. Like for Tiff and I,
don't you tell our word. Oh my goodness! If you are about to keep, that is between us.
But yes, Tiff and I have a little word where I might text her, she'll call me, and she'll tell me what she wants, and I'll tell her what I want, whatever. And it's our own little word, and it's stupid. But the thing is, if you heard it, you would go, okay, you can see how it equates to what we're talking about. But this is all part and parcel of the thing, is that as a couple, you should have little idiosyncrasies that are just yours, that are triggers. And those triggers should trigger what you know is going to happen. But the good thing is that when it does happen at that moment, that's what it's about. And I think we miss that when we're running all over the place and we're with this person, that person, is that true intimacy is sharing. True intimacy is the exchange of the emotion. And there's no greater emotion than powerful lovemaking. And when you're doing it to please your partner, and your partner's doing it to please you, then what happens is when you reach that moment for both of you, oh my God, it creates the love all over again. So when I say you don't have to do it every day, what I mean is if you're doing it and you're putting the energy into it each time, no, you don't have to do it daily. If you want to, that's your business. But if you're doing it once or twice a week, you're doing it every couple of days, then you're reigniting the relationship all over again. I'm just saying, when you have a full-time job, a second job, which is what we have a whole company, and then on top of that, the things that you do in your career, that I do in my career as a mentor, you as a mentor, we have to make sure, like, oh, you doing something, like Tiff will say in the car, yo, we getting into something tonight? Oh, I guess so, you know. And I joke about it, and as soon as she lay down in bed, she out cold.
Before we get in the car, that's why he's still at work.
Am I getting something tonight?
Because I have to prepare you.
Yeah, listen, because you know me, I'll get to work. I'm coming home and get some work done. Because I ain't going to get started on the work if I know something's going to happen. But like I said, everybody listening, please understand that all this is to be taken with the idea of enhancing the relationship. All right. Now, we've taken no breaks tonight. We're going to take a two-song break, man, because that's how we get ourselves together. Listen, this is Reality and Relationship. That is my lovely co-host, Tiffany Praxton Belvin. I am KL Belvin. We will be back two-song. We'll continue this subject to see how we can help folks with this in the bedroom with this sexual conversation. And again, please tell a friend if they need some help, if they feel a little rigid, if they need some things. And we definitely want to hear from you folks that are on the line. Remember, when we come back, if you have any questions, conversations, please press 1 to get in. Love to hear from you. But one disclaimer, I want to say this. Even though we said put the kids to bed, don't come on and talk like we're in a porno movie. Please do not curse. We don't want the details of your intimacy. All you have to say is in the bedroom. We can imagine what that is. I don't need to know size, shape. I don't need to know. I don't need the erotica. I used to write it. I'm good. I have a very active imagination. So just give us the overall understanding of what your question is or your statement. When we come back, two songs.
Wish I could see through, see deep into you, and know what you're thinking now. And if I'm what you needed, I need some kind of sign. Let me know, cause I can't read your mind. Are you in? Oh, am I in it on my own? I need some clue from you. Let me know, babe. Do you feel me? Do you breathe? You feel
playing games. What's this all about? And I can't believe you're hurting me. I met your girl, what a difference. What you see in her, you ain't seen in me. But I guess it was all just make believe. Oh, love. Never knew what I was missing. But I knew once we start kissing, I found love. Never knew what I was missing. But I knew once we start kissing, I found you. Now you go, what am I gonna do? So empty, my heart, my soul can't go on, go on without you. My rainy days fade away when you come around. Please tell me, baby, why you go so far away? Why you go?
From the relationship to enhance both individuals. offering something to the world that when you do it, they go, wow, that's what I'm talking about. We want to be 60, 70 years. A co-worker of mine said that his mother and father were together 70 years. Listen, that's what you dream about, to have a lifetime with somebody, to find a way two of you want to be with each other that long. So intimacy, and I mean feel lovemaking, engage that. And Tiff and I are sitting here on our computers, and we're just going back and forth, looking at the conversation. Actually, let me, if you're on Facebook, jump on to GQGEEQUE General Question, posted by Rich Money. I'm sorry. If you jump on, you can get into some of the conversation that is going on behind the scenes, and actually get your response to some of the things that you're hearing about that so if you're on Facebook, jump on GQ General Question, and actually post some questions. But if you're on the line right now, call in. Don't be scared to hit the number one, and let the host know that you want to say something, and let's talk, because this is about you, the listener, as much as it is about Tiff and I. And we know that we have a lot of callers who sometimes get scared to hit that number one because they don't want to let nobody know that they're listening. They don't want to give nothing away about themselves. But don't be scared, because I think fear is something that is very real if you allow it to be. I think the line that's been stuck in my head from the Will Smith movie After Earth, when he says, no, don't get me wrong, the danger is very real. Fear is what you think. Fear is not. And sexual situations, if you're fearful of something, you don't want to deal with something, and you don't let your partner know, it's going to have a negative effect in the level of intimacy. The goal should be to reach higher heights if possible with each other. Stop with that trying to invite other people to the bedroom foolishness. That's your thing. You.
Having multiple partners.
That's your thing. Do you. It's not us. So we're not even going there. So if you go, well, they missing the boat. Well, you know what? Let that boat go. I'm good.
I like the boat I'm riding.
Yeah. Woo! Woo! I ain't never been called no boat before. Anyway.
Go ahead. Did you know men who have sex reduce their risk of heart attack?
I knew that. Some of the men don't have their own company.
I was not finished subliminals. I was just, I'm trying to get into some of the health benefits of having sex.
Show me their bottom line. So the same cats that sit around looking at their lady talking about how we gonna pay these bills. Let's jump in the bed. Okay, we can be dead broke and humble all day. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And healthy, right?
Exactly. Healthy and broke. No, listen, there are tremendous advantages to ongoing lovemaking. The body gives off an endorphin that is tremendous. It actually gives a muscle relaxer. And ladies, let me get you in. Let me put you on the physical, ladies. If you allow him to rest, sleep, the chemical that is given off once a man reaches the point of ejaculation, once he reaches that point of orgasm, the body gives off a chemical. That's why he looks so stupid, sounds so stupid, or whatever. And it actually causes the muscles to tighten up. It causes the muscles to be a certain way. If you allow that chemical to run its course, it'll take maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes. A lot of it has to do with the shape that he's in. A lot of it has to do if he's eaten. If you allow that to run its course, well, the refractory period is what it's called. He will be able to bounce back quicker. Also, if you are going to go out that night, do not have dinner first.
Yeah.
The digestive system causes everything else to slow down. You are better off not eating and then getting it on and working up even a bigger appetite and then eat. The digestive system causes the refractory period to extend itself to cause it to last longer. And so if you want him to recover faster, on an empty stomach, you're fine. And you all of a sudden you'll see a difference. These are all little things that as you learn each other's bodies, as you learn the things that go on, all of a sudden you'll look up and go, my gosh, he's never done it like this before. Well, it's because he's learning his body, you're learning his body, and then the two of you are enjoying each other's body. And very, very important. You know, I see folks go out and they have a big meal and they say, we going home, so you're going home to sleep. Cannot try to get it in with the itis fighting for its face also. Don't believe me? Try it. You and your husband, you and your wife go out, don't have nothing to eat, get off of work, get it in. Chill for a little while, get it in again. Chill for a little while, get it in again. And see if y'all don't go to White Castle and eat everything on the menu.
Or want to eat everything on
exactly.
The menu.
Exactly.
Have the munchies.
Exactly. Like, feel like we high, yes. Because the chemicals given off will actually feel that way.
Speaking of giving off chemicals, actually, this was a study done that said, immediately before orgasm, the oxytocin level surged 5 times the normal level. And oxytocin releases endorphins, which helps alleviate, listen ladies, menstrual cramps, migraines, chronic back pain, and arthritis.
Yeah, because it shoots it through the system. And it causes those. And the same thing for men. You know, you can get rid of some of the ailments, your knee ailments, your back. The chemicals that the body gives off. The body, God created a wonderful machine in the body. And if you give the body a chance to do what it was designed to do, you will find that level of intimacy will increase. Again, it goes back to knowledge, goes back to communication, goes back to an understanding of the knowledge to be able to communicate it. And then the two of you have to want, very important, two of you have to want to please each other. Very easy, been with somebody for a long time, selfish, the love game of making game. Know what you need to do, she knows what's whatever. No. Find a way to resist that. That's so easy to give into. Try to resist that and try to keep it about your partner. Going to enjoy yourself if she does. So if you keep it about your partner and she or he is satisfied, oh my gosh.
And I just want to get back to one of the other benefits because somebody posted it on the GQ page on Facebook about fitness and weight loss. And actually, one sexual encounter burns about 200 calories, which is equivalent of running 15 minutes on a treadmill. So think about it.
Oh, yeah. I ain't gonna lie. When I got older, got a little heavy, I can't lie. Like, woo, I work at this. But, yeah, there's something to that. But again, the better shape you're in, better recovery you have, just for older men, too. Know that over 40, things start to slow down. Let's keep it real. You're not that young dude, and you shouldn't be in a club chasing. Look real corny being an old dude out there two-stepping, trying to chase some of these chicks. And you old cougars. Now, don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted either. Yes, I know your testosterone level is up. You done reached that age, and you like this old cat can't get it in. I'm going after the young stuff. Okay. Like I said, if that's your thing, do you. I'm talking about once you caught the young stuff. Once the old cat has decided to get with the young girl, or you found somebody age. We're talking about the after.
KL is that old cat.
I'm a smooth old dude. Don't get it twisted. If I got back in the game right now, some people be like, yo, who that chubby dude? I mean, y'all don't, they ain't ready for that. Read the book from Gigolo to Jesus. Understand what I want. Y'all need to see above the rim. They can't erase what we was. No, but really what it is, it's about talking about the after. I'm not talking about the chase. I'm talking about when you've gotten yourself with that person, older, young. I don't care if it's a younger man with an older woman, older man with a younger woman, somebody your same age. I'm talking about what it's going to be once y'all got there. Now, man, what it can be. Now, yes, a younger man is going to present certain things to an older woman that an older guy may not be able to achieve. But there's also something to be said about knowledge, understanding that comes with age. I sometimes listen to young men and I hear the way that they speak about women. One thing that men have to understand, and fellas, get real close to the radio, and ladies, have him come back to listen to this. Fellas, women know from the minute they hear you talk, minute they watch you dance, the minute they watch you walk into a room, if you're smooth or not.
That is so true.
When you walk, women know. And one of the first things they're going to say is, girl, you can't even stand up straight. They've already equated that to, nah, something, yeah, I'm not even taking that chance. But when you're speaking, there's something about my voice will trigger something in a woman, just like there's something in a woman that will trigger something in me. And when you learn, that communication between the two of you can trigger things that's going to enhance things between the two of you. You really don't want to share that with a lot of people. That's something that once you get to that point, why give that to so many? That's the biggest mistake I made when I was out running the street. That I thought giving it to so many other people was cool, when now I see how beautiful it is to give it to one person. And we're having that intimacy on a regular. Well, not as much as she like, but like I said, I want to see people getting it in when they own, like what we do. Forget all of that. So I'm saying, that's what you want. That's what the goal should be. And you can keep going at it. You know, I ran into a parent when I was coming home yesterday. And she was mentioning something about a teacher. I'm not going to say any names. And she said, that woman needs a man. She said, I'm 73 years old. I'm running around here, everything fine. And I said, excuse me? She said, I can tell what her problem is, because if she had a man, she wouldn't have a problem that she had. And I was like, wow. But you know what? She was saying that at 73, she still do her thing. And her husband still do their thing. And I'm proud to hear that. But she's understanding that her age has nothing to do with what she understands about her needs. And her husband is obviously fulfilling those needs. This is a lifelong thing that can go on for as long as you can roll over and grab each other. There's nothing cuter than seeing older folks tickling at each other and doing their thing. And now with these medical sensations that they got, brothers, stay in the game for a long time if need be. Because every time I see one of these commercials, I'm not ready. Don't know when you're going to be ready. Only problem is you might go blind messing with these pills. But either way,
have a heart attack.
Or whatever. I say, if you and your lady are really into each other the right way, you don't need all that. But that's what you need. It is what it is. But really, listen, I want to bring something else to the table. I want to say that when I talk about women will know instantly. When you and your lady and you and your man get to that point with each other in your relationship, you know that some words won't even be needed. A little brush of the hair, a little brush of the ear, a little brush of the elbow, a little kiss on the forehead, you'll already know. But that is so sensual. That is so intoxicating. When you're out somewhere and you brush up against your lady and she already knows, and you brush up against your man and he already knows, and he kind of says, you know what, guys, you're going to get ready to go. Going home. It's early. Why y'all going home? We a little tired. Code word. I can't give you the word to bar me from saying it.
Yeah.
But either way, little things like that. And that foundational part of your sexual intimacy that is just missing. It's not talked about on television. It's not talked about in music. It's not even mentioned in some of these silly reality programs. Everything is about the pure humping. You can hump all day.
The sensualness, the intimacy, just being next to you. You know, it's funny because I always say to Kale every night, come to bed, let's cuddle.
I ain't coming.
And that's good enough for me, for just to have him touching me.
Her cuddling lasts for about 5 minutes, and then she's snoring. Now I got to try to roll over to get out the way.
It helps me get to sleep. It helps me get to sleep, to feel my husband next to me, put his arm around me.
I do all that spooning.
Spooning.
Make me sound real soft in a minute. Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with spooning. Ain't nothing wrong with spooning. The idea is that, you're right, I can't lie, it's really cool. You're sitting there, you're watching television, and got your lady up under you. You know, the pheromones is giving off her scent. I can smell, and I know she can smell mine. And you know, there's something beautiful about that. very beautiful about that. And I think that the sensuality has been removed because of the animalistic passion that seems to drive a lot of folks with what they watch on television, with what they want in music. And what did we start that stupid song? I think it's a Chris Brown song. We don't even need a bed.
Oh, my goodness.
Or
a
massive
song.
Room, I
we
think.
We don't need no ambiance. We don't need.
Just a floor.
We don't need to set the mood.
Yeah, just get on the floor.
I hate that song. Just get on the floor and bend over. I hate that song.
And it was crazy is that, you know, this is what our kids are listening to, and this is what our kids believe to be sensual. This is, they think, you know, smoking a blunt and just getting roughed off and getting drunk and getting roughed off is what it's about. We got to find a way to change that. And that's actually what Tiff and I are about.
Yes.
Tiff and I are about changing how people view marriage. That's why the name of our movement, Making Marriage Cool Again, is trying to make it something that it hasn't been. Marriage is cool. I try to say it everywhere that I go, everywhere I talk, is that, you know, there's nothing like seeing your wife happy. There's nothing like seeing your wife excited. And there's definitely nothing like seeing my wife naked, but you ain't going to get to see that. Sorry, that's just me. But, yeah. There's nothing like seeing your significant other naked and know that that's all for you and vice versa. And that when you decide to exchange sensual feelings with each other, you know, we've given away so much to technology that we've stopped thinking about just subtle intimacies. You don't even see people holding hands anymore where it looks fun. It almost looks like one is dragging the other one, and it just, what happened to just sensual touches on the face and kissing and things like that? Now, listen, I ain't gonna lie, I'm not one for making out. You kiss me, it's on. And Tiff is like, why every time we kiss, hey, don't kiss me unless it's good. So I'm not one that's going to play those kissing games. I ain't going to sit around and make out 2-3 hours. Now, I ain't got time for that. You might get 2-3 minutes kissing, and we can talk about it later on. No, I'm serious. But it's the idea that I get so excited that, no, I don't want to just kiss. I want it all. And these are the things that you really have to say to yourself, do I have that in my relationship? And if I don't, why not? What am I missing? How come I don't have that? How come my partner doesn't sound like that about me? And how come I don't sound like that about my partner? And how come the two of you are kind of looking at each other going, yo, they joking. I ain't never heard no foolishness like that. Well, there's something wrong with you. Because you can have it. If you're sitting there listening to the radio right now and you have someone in your life that you care about, why isn't your sensual level, sexual level, intimacy level on high all the time? Why aren't you humping every day like Tiff would like to?
You said Tiff would like to. See, you putting me out there. You putting me on blast.
You want to say, that's what you wanted to do. You go ahead.
That's because I enjoy being in pleasure mode with my man, my husband.
I don't enjoy being broke.
Enjoy it. But what's funny is
I enjoy it too, but I hate being broke worse.
I'm not saying I need it every day. It would be, of course.
You like it. I tell you what, if we hit this $500 million, you getting it every day.
And you know, people don't even know what you're talking about that don't live in New York. Or
they live in a Powerball state.
You live in a Powerball
state?
They
on the road right now driving to a Powerball state to get it.
If you live in a Powerball lottery state right now,
it is over $500 million.
It's $550 million.
It'll probably be up to $600 million by Saturday. And after Tiff and I hit, we will still do the show. But GQ Palace will be in a shiny new radio station. Go play the heavy. Because we all ain't going to have to work. So, yeah, Tiff and I can get it in every day because we ain't going to have nothing else to do. You know what I'm saying? I might even just put a couple of stacks on the bed and jump on just because I saw it in the movie.
You know, I was just, get out of my head. I was just thinking we could throw the money on the bed.
That's it.
We could live that fantasy.
Ah. Ever get it on a million?
You are
like, y'all don't know nothing about this. Gangster. I'll show you gangster, baby.
We done spent spend too many years together. We think about it. Humping on $1 million. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, man.
Anyway,
please.
Kale's making jokes, and
I'll show you gangster.
Not that I need to have sex every day. I enjoy my husband. I enjoy giving pleasure to my husband. I enjoy the pleasure that my husband gives to me. But I think sometimes men put too much pressure on themselves and
yeah, they do.
In whatever form.
We've had many conversations with men and women, and it's like, bro, why are you stressing?
We just had a conversation like last week sometime, and I was explaining to KL that in the past, I would have guys that would just, questions really, they were uncomfortable sometimes. By the,
that's what God gave you. Stop stressing. You can't find more.
Whether it was about their size or their abilities and comparisons, and I'm thinking, you're really turning me off. I don't want to have this conversation. I just, you know, but I think men put too much pressure on themselves. And
by watching porn.
Yeah.
And you like, stop watching porn. You be all right.
And
you got envy. Why are you looking so hard?
And how can you be in envy when you know that all the guys that do, they all take Viagra? And they
admit it. They ain't worried about how long they do it.
And that's another thing.
How long it is.
You know,
that's what the envy is. Brother looking at the screen going.
And those are myths. Those are myths. Every woman does not need 10 inches and 12 inches. I mean, we get into detail.
See, I was just sitting back. I was like, where are you going?
But
you better reel that back in. Woo.
Some of the myths that go along.
The most recent conversation from Tiffany Braxton Belvin is of her own accord, not those of her husband or this marriage. Thank you.
But, so you get into.
Turned into 50 Shades of Grey.
I know, right? You get into, oh, I need this size and this width, and I need him. You know,
let me help my wife out because she's about to get us banned. First of all, relax yourself. If you and your lady loves you, she loves all of you, and she would have told you that ahead of time, and you would have known before it even got to the time of intimacy. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, be honest. If there's certain things that you've gotten to a point in your life that you feel you need, that's where the communication is very important before you even get to being intimate. See, this goes back to what I was talking about, the whole marriage thing. If you've done everything right before you get married, then when you get married, you already have an idea of what certain things are going to be so cool. But like I said, it may not be for everyone. So if you're in a relationship right now, you're dating, if y'all sat down and really conversed, and I mean adult conversation, I'm not saying being nasty or being negative, I'm talking about adult conversation where two individuals as adults sit down and say, this is what I like. This is what I like. This is what I want. This is what I have. This is what whatever. And you go back and forth. Because if she wants certain things that you are unable to give, well, then that might be a deal breaker. Simply because then if there's no way that she's willing to work with you, or there's no way that he's willing to work with you, then you might need to say, you know what, we can't get together. Because why would you place yourself in a situation where you're at a deficit going in? The relationship is supposed to build you up, not tear you down. You shouldn't be intimate with somebody and feeling less than whatever you are before you lay down. Lovemaking is supposed to enhance both of you, not one-sided. And if there's no real communication, then that means one of you is sitting there lying. Those lies are going to eventually wear at the relationship, and it's going to show up at the wrong time. It's going to show up in an argument. It's going to show up when a new dude, a new chick comes to the job and is into their business. And all of a sudden, you're going to look up, and it's not what you think it is. So I am saying to anyone listening is that have the communication date for a while. Learn to get back to courting. And I'm not trying to sound old. I'm just saying our grandparents had a working idea that worked. Take time to get to know someone so you can allow them to get to know you. The level of intimacy that you'll get to will continue to increase each time. I promise you that.
I'm wondering why nobody, we are talking about sex and sexual relations and no one is calling in to discuss it.
Wow.
Are they scared?
I don't know. We put it out there. We put it out there.
And
you even
is,
put sizes out there.
Know,
yeah,
right?
You lost your
oh
mind.
But
anyway.
But this is the first time we're actually talking, and KL and I, we went back and forth on whether we were even going to discuss this because, again, we are a Christian couple. We're a Christian couple that's in love. We're a Christian couple that enjoy each other, and we enjoy giving each other pleasure.
Because
so,
we're married, and that's what we do.
Right. So we went back and forth of whether we were even going to discuss this. So now that we're discussing, I'm wondering, how come nobody is calling in to talk to us?
Well, the Christians don't want to blow themselves up. The non-Christians is like, I'm scared because if I tell them I'm a super freak, they may blow me up. So they kind of caught in between. Listen, whoever you are, whatever you do, whatever you like, listen, you got to be comfortable with you on whatever level it is. You got to be comfortable with you on whatever it is that you like, and you have to be real with yourself. I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to, it's not just about what we believe in. It's about who we are. What we believe in is a part of who we are, and that's us. We're not going to dictate to someone else and say, you should be this way. We're going to say, this is why we are.
And this is what works for us.
And if you want to know more, we'll talk about it.
Absolutely.
If you want to understand more, we'll talk about it. If you say, this is what I am and I'm not budging, okay. We'll rock with that. And we'll rock with you. We may not support what you do or what you like, but we'll talk to you. We'll have a conversation. We'll have a dialogue because we're intelligent adults. And we're not blinded and we're not zealous and we're not going to beat you over the head. I don't run around down the streets with my Bible in my hand beating people over the head. No, there's some folks out there now. Yeah, there's some folks out there. Got the lights turned off, talking about the Lord says you can't help with the lights on. Okay, that works for you. The idea is you have folks that are going to try to shape you into what they think and everything that they think, but it's not what Tip and I are about. This is about expressing intimacy for your partner. If you don't have a partner right now, if you're sitting in the house drinking Moscato, looking at the computer going, you know what? Right now, okay. But save this. Because when you get that partner, and you and that dude, and you and that chick finally get to that point, go back and play this. Go to the archive, blogtalkradio.com/GQ/Alice.
Get it right.
Get it right. Put this on. You're like, okay, we got to talk. I ain't did it in 4 years. This was going to happen. Okay. Y'all talk about it. Tell him what you need. Tell her what you need. Tell him what you need. But it still comes down to what we're saying. Being able to curse. We're not babies. We're not children. This conversation, this is why Tiff says at the beginning, this is not for young adults. We're still trying to find their way as adults. We're talking about mature, want more from a relationship. Shouldn't be in a relationship and not getting enhanced. You're not growing from your relationship. Why are you in it? And if you're not having high-level intimacy sessions, a quickie up against the wall might work once or twice, but if that's all you have, and ladies and gentlemen, if the only time you see him is at a park, if the only time you see him is in some stairwell or you're getting it on at work on a copy machine, all right, well, you're not in a relationship.
Well, you're in a relationship, but...
Yeah, well, you're in something, but it's not what we're talking about. Because, yeah, that's cute, think it is, but it's not going to compare to what we're talking about. As everybody that's in those type of relationships betrays them tomorrow, the level of intimacy that we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm being very real with you.
I have to say, because I hear all the time, after years attracted to their mate, Dale and I have years and...
And you should.
The ego. Trying to say something nice about you.
I got a big ego.
Yes, you got a big ego. But every time I hear his voice, when he walks through the door, I'm happy to see him walk through the door. I still have that feeling as if it was.
Sleep on the Barry White,
and
y'all.
This is almost.
Sleep
and I enjoy
White.
Every instant. And that's something that I hear. I don't feel that anymore. I don't get. I think it's something that we can work on, especially, you know, when you've been together for so long.
It should be something that you want to work on.
Absolutely.
I don't see why you would want it any other way. Why would you want it sideways? Why would you want it? Listen, it's harder to get out of a bad relationship than it is to work on it. So, y'all sitting around there hating each other and can't say, I just want to bounce and all that. Forget all of that. Put that energy into making it. Put that energy into developing something fantastic. When you get there, see, it was worth all the headache. It was worth all the trouble. So it's definitely something that's doable. And I got to honestly admit, all those years that I was out there running around, I was a fool. I was trying to get with women that wasn't even close to the level that I needed them to be on. So I'm lowering myself to place myself in situations for what? Now? Oh, I couldn't see that now. Why would I ever want to go back there? And that's another thing that the beauty of a solid relationship that has solid intimacy does. It makes you want to fight to make things better, to keep things where they are. Because who wants to go backwards? Who wants to start all over? You know, that's why when you see older couples, they're friends. Tiff and I are friends. That's how much we enjoy each other. We hang out. We bowl together. We work together. We travel together. And when we're away from each other, we stay in contact with each other. You know, a little text here, a little call here, all those things help keep things going.
And we don't do everything together.
No, I don't want to be up under all of them.
We do have our separate time away from each other, but we do make sure that we have quality time together. And it's very important to us.
Oh, we got lives. I mean, that's part of being adults. We're going to have lives, and our lives are not centered around being up under each other. We're not in high school, and we're not going to stay on the phone for 8 hours until you fall asleep. And oh, that's cute for that music that's on now. I'm talking about OJ's Me and My Woman Cried Last Night. And then we made love. Oh, I'm sorry. If y'all don't know the song, y'all listen to my man Eddie LaVert. Y'all turn on Eddie LaVert right now. Listen to the beginning of that song. When he's like, me and my woman cried last night. And then... Folks ain't doing that no more, man. That's what we got to get to. And that's what this is about, man. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like that. That's what we're missing. And then you got to see is what we said earlier about subcultures. Is that once it spills over into ordinary society, you start to look at it as the norm. And then real intimate relationships start to become oddities. So we marvel at couples who seem to have it together and do okay when there was a time when that was the norm.
Yes, and it wasn't that long ago. Like, when people come to us and they look at us and the things that they say, it's like we're anomaly.
And if you enjoy each other's company, then there's a good chance you're enjoying each other's company in private. Now, that doesn't mean that they are. It doesn't mean that everything that Tiff and I are saying is that a couple who looks to have it all together public is going to have it all together private. There is such things as public success as private failures.
Yeah.
And what we're saying is, if you can do it in public, you can do it in private. And when you do it in private, it can change and enhance what you do in public. People can sense it. People can feel it. When Tiff and I are out, people will come and laugh and joke and say, how long have you been married? And, you know, we tell them, we say, we've only been married since 2007, but been together for 13 years. And people respond to that, and they sit back and they're like, wow, this is all part of it. And as we come down to these last couple of minutes, man, at this point, you know, if you call it now, listen, you ain't going to have that long to talk. So we're going to ride out. The idea is, what we hope, anybody that listens to what we do, that even if this is not where you are right now, bookmark this show. Put it in your favorites on your computer. And understand that it's still something that you can look back on when you do have that person in your life. And if you have that person in your life right now and things are not where you want them to be, first step is stop and ask why. And then look at yourself. If you can honestly say you've done everything that you're supposed to do as a significant other, as a spouse.
Oh, I hate that term. No, I hate that term.
Significant other?
Significant other.
Listen, you got it's terms that people recognize. I mean, unfortunately, it may not be what we are or what we rock with, but some people look at that. And our dog wants to get in on the conversation, too. if you're that person for somebody else and it's not working, look in the mirror and say, have I put time and energy into it? If you have, look at what you can do to fix it. You might need to sit down and say to your partner, what's wrong? What can I do? They say nothing. No, nothing's not acceptable. Your body, your heart, soul will tell you. Our puppy is trying to get in on the conversation. He's like, look, y'all don't even let me go out and do nothing, so I don't really care what y'all. And that's a whole other story too, because our puppy's like, all right, they're getting into it. I'm gonna go find somewhere to sit down. And then when it's over, he jumps on the bed like, okay, it's my time. I can come and play now. So even the dog senses when things is going on. He goes about his business. That's how in tune things around you can happen. Will you sit down?
I cannot believe he is making all this noise.
He's like, enough has been enough. But listen, yeah, you see, that's how you know it's a live show. Even our Yorkie is trying to get in on the conversation. But look, we got about 5 minutes. Got about 5 minutes left. And the last 5 minutes, I want to be very, very serious.
Let's talk for 5 minutes.
I won't let you. I'm serious. You can chime in where you want. The dog is trying to think. I want you to stop and say to yourself, are you really happy? Are you really, really happy? And I mean, be honest. If you're not, why aren't you happy? The things that you're doing to yourself, not doing for yourself, things that your partner is doing, whatever is creating that unhappiness between you, that is your target for your conversation in the morning. That is the best place to start. Don't do it tonight. I don't care if he or she didn't listen to the show. Unless you're going to sit down and go back over the show together and sit down for the 2 hours and y'all two listen to it together, don't show to the table till you've had a chance to really consider how you're going to approach the subject.
I also think that it's very important that you want in a relationship. Come to intimate relationship, understand what your partner wants, and come together. Because I think thing is to come to relationship.
Okay. Stop.
No, because I was thinking.
I'm with you. I'm just, okay. You just had a brain freeze, or you was in the middle of your soliloquy and just, after you had a stroke?
You know what? I do not like you. I don't
get
like
it together,
you.
Man. We on the air, man. You just... You just... Are you all right? Yes?
I told you I was tired.
Okay.
But no, I was just... Something. Maybe, like I said, for 20 years, you're in a relationship with someone.
But that's probably her fault.
Yes,
for not handing Jane. Can't love somebody and just be there unhappy and then allow it to keep rocking. And I think of myself, I'm not going to sit here and let 20 years go by and be so unhappy that we don't have some type of conversation.
But they did have
okay,
conversation.
Okay, then it might be time to carve that loose. Then. Sit with somebody, and I know... Once again, to the religious aspect with divorce and everything like that, but there's got to be some counseling. I don't, whatever. Listen, you might put a Hedo. I don't know. Listen,
Hedo. You did not suggest Hedo.
I might just. I didn't say go out there and do a day two. You might need something. Listen.
You need
point,
something to bring the passion back into your.
Thank you.
And one thing is, never lose the passion. Right. Don't ever even lose it. I can't imagine losing passion. It's been 13 years.
Yeah.
13 years.
Sitting around crocheting? Doing, like, what do y'all do for fun? Like, and when y'all doing it, it don't get you at least excited? So I'm like, if she don't get out of the shower, you be like, I'm getting that. Maybe y'all just look at each other hating each other? Like, come on, man. Listen, there's, like I said, partly her fault, too, because you can't let it rock for that long. You got to do something. But we're coming up on end of the show, so honey, I want you to give the folks your final thoughts on everything that we talked about.
Final thoughts? Show is over.
What? What? We got work to do.
There you go.
Yeah, see, got a miscommunication. I ain't talking about that work. That's your final thought?
Yes.
Y'all should see her eyes right now. She about to use that word. It ain't no safe word either. We ain't here tying each other up either. Well, I'm going to say this. I'm glad that we took some time to have a laugh and have some fun. Had some real serious subjects the last couple weeks, but we wanted to show you the other side of how we do things. Like I said, you're listening to this show. Hopefully you're getting off the air and, you know, you just rip the covers off your significant other and be like, yo, that's it. Just jump on. Don't say nothing. Just get him with it. Him, fellas, get him with it. Hear me, ladies, get him with it. Just, you know what? That's it. We're going to talk about it. Have a conversation and don't use one word. That's what I'm talking about. Have some fun. But either way, this is a serious topic that we had some fun with. Hope that you saved this show. I hope that you decide to come back to GQ Palace on the other nights because there are some tremendous shows on the same station, same phone number every night of the week. And I hope that you definitely decide to get it in. Pleasure. And I thank everyone that took time out to enjoy time with Tiff and I. Wish you a good night. God bless. Tiff?
Have you heard? Have that word? Like, Venus is the author in the finish. Satisfaction. I'm writing from the heart. That's the way that it should be.